Thank you for listening, downloading, sharing, subscribing, commenting, donating, and praying for us. And for going to BrotherLance.com to get the free PDF of this teaching.
BrotherLance.com.
Cannibalism. Most have heard the story immortalized in the book with the very misleading title, Miracle in the Andes. When the plane called Fairchild made contact with the Andes Mountains and crashed, along with the old Christian rugby club heading to an exhibition match against a Chilean team. After much suffering, they turned to eating the dead bodies for survival, methodically cannibalizing their friends, even to the point of discovering the most delicate meats, all in an attempt to survive one more day in the wretched freezing conditions they found themselves in. Even justifying their actions by comparing the act to be much like the Lord's Supper, and telling themselves that they drew life from the blood of their friends in the same way we draw spiritual life through the Lord's Supper. Justification, right? Justification, your evil deeds. Also, most of us have heard of the cannibalistic Donner Reed Party. As I jokingly call it, out of disgust and horror, the Donner Dinner Party. In 1846, as they traveled across the United States to start a new life, they took a supposed shortcut en route to California from Illinois. They become trapped in the Sierra Nevada mountains by an 8-day freak snowstorm. To this day, the location is called the Donner Pass. The gruesome reminder of how when the food ran out and they ate their oxen, dogs, cowhides, then they took to eating each other's, one another's relatives and acquaintances. If you fell in the snow, you might become dinner. Similar stories of desperation and depravity and cannibalism in the Bible, like in the following stories found in 2 Kings 6:24-30. Later, King Behadad of Aram assembled his whole army. They went to Samaria and blockaded it. The shortages caused by the blockade of Samaritans became so severe that a donkey's head sold for 2 pounds of silver and a half pint of dove manure for 2 ounces of silver. As the king of Israel was walking on the city wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, your majesty," he answered. "If the Lord doesn't help you, how can I help you? I can't give you something from the threshing floor or the wine press." Then the king asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "The woman told me, 'Give up your son. Let me eat him today. We'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. The next day I told her, 'Give up your son. We'll eat him.' But she hid her son." When the king heard this, the woman saw this. He tore his clothes in distress. As he was walking on the city wall, the people saw that he was wearing sackcloth under his clothes. He said, "May God strike me dead if the head of Elijah, son of Shebat, stays on his body today." We have heard of the infamous cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer, the serial killer who ate his victims, and many other such horrendous and disgusting stories of cannibalism. The rest of the Bible is no different in the accounts provided. This is what we'll be talking about today. Cannibalism from a biblical point of view. So hold on to your taste buds and whet your appetites for the meat of the Word of God. Couldn't resist. I promise we'll season it with salt. I gotta make light of it, man, because it's so horrendously bad. I have to joke because, like, it's unnerving. Dear Father, we praise you. We thank you for all you do for us, being awesome, wonderful, mighty. We're going to tackle a very difficult topic of conversation today, cannibalism. But we need to get out ahead of things and stop being reactionary in our doctrines and our teachings. So this is our effort. So we praise you. We thank you for everything. Give us your Holy Spirit. Guide us to your truth. Help us understand. And thank you for your love and being with us and for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, pet doctrines number 2, unclean meat, cannibalism, meat sacrifice to idols, part 2. Today we're doing the cannibalism side of things. And before we go, this is going to be kind of a weird one because our natural minds don't think this way. And to think about these things seem weird. God talks about it in the Bible. And like I said in our prayer, we have to stop being reactionary and wait for things to become big problems. There's enough people out there talking about eating people now that it's a big problem. But since it's not in the mainstream yet, which it will be eventually, you know, we have to create these doctrines and their teachings to equip believers. So someone could say, "Well, why is cannibalism wrong? It doesn't say don't eat people in the Bible." And what does a Christian say? Well, it says don't kill, and that's all they got. You know, it's like, well, if they're already dead, we're going to talk about all that. You know, and so we want to equip believers. This goes with the unclean meats things, what people can eat. And the next one will be meat sacrifice to idols, you know. And so we are going to get ahead of things. So anyways, let's read. When looking into cannibalism, we can't overlook the dire warning from Jesus. It was given before his death, talking about the destruction of the temple in Israel after his death. So Luke 21, 20-24. Luke 21, 20-24. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, know this, that it is desolation has come near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who are inside the city must depart. Those who are out in the country must not enter in to it. Because these are the days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing their babies in those days. That's very important. We're going to talk about that. That was a warning of cannibalism. For there will be a great distress on the earth and the wrath against the people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away as captives among all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It says, you see, those who were trapped in the city through starvation and hunger began eating the children. Rome offered an opportunity for people to leave the city, yet the zealots threatened that anyone trying to leave would be put to the sword. Over time and through destruction of their food supply, things got very bad. But there is more to this story than the surface level reveal. But first, let us cover some basics before we go any further. Okay, so now that we kind of got the scene set and the horrendous things, you know, that nobody likes to think about, you know, but this kind of really speaks to the depravity of humanity and their willingness to justify doing very evil things. Like they say that, like, you know, we're only like 3 or 4 days away from people eating each other. Because once if society stopped and, you know, first they're going to start killing each other to take what they can from each other. And then they turn into eating each other. Right. Because there's no value for their brothers and sisters. Right. And so and then families are like, well, I got to feed this. I got to do that. I got kids starving, you know, and there's no boundary. Right. And so this next part, we want to create this boundary. The same like it's never permissible. It is never OK. It's never OK in God's sight. You're not allowed to do it. Right. But we have to create this boundary line, this spiritual hard line in the sand and say we never cross that line. OK, no matter how bad it gets, we never eat each other. So let's go. Made in God's image. Man was made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image after our likeness so they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the earth. God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So we are all made in the image of God, right? So I'm going to clarify with this for us. While God does not have flesh and blood like we do, John 4:24 says God is spirit, and the people who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, right? So we know that, like, while we are flesh and blood and God is spirit, we are like a shadow of his being. We like have a similitude, right? Mm-hmm. And so we said we bear the similitude of his appearance. Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds human blood by other humans must his blood be shed. For in God's image, God has made humankind, right? So God is putting a line aside. Like, listen, if you shed blood, and we're going to kind of talk about the justification for shedding blood. But like, if you shed blood unjustly, right, that person is made in the image of God. And that, so because of that, God takes offense to it. Like, no, you don't get to do that. Right. So because they're made in my likeness, they're special. They are unique. And we have to put that in our heads. Human beings are special and unique. OK. Top of page 3. Just as there is life in the spirit. Right. So we have that, you know, I'll read Genesis 9:6 again. Whoever sheds human blood by other humans, their blood must be shed, for in God's image they were made. OK, so. Now, top of page 3, just as there's life in the spirit, Job 33:4 says, the spirit of a God has made me and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. So the breath of life has come into man to give him life, right? And then John 6:63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and in life. So we have, there's life in the spirit, but there's also life in the blood. Let's read it. It says, this is life in the blood. There's life in the blood. Deuteronomy 12:23. However, by no means eat the blood, for the blood is life itself. You must not eat the life with the meat, right? And here's the thing. That has not changed, even in the descriptions that, like, they gave in the book of Acts. They were like, listen, don't eat the blood. Don't eat the blood. It happened after Noah. when you get first homes, don't eat the blood, and after the Exodus and Levitical law, don't eat the blood, and then they give them that thing, don't eat the blood, right? We're not supposed to be eating the blood, okay? that part has never changed because there's still life in that blood, okay? And so now we cook our stuff and, you know, and that kind of stuff. But like some people will eat their meat raw. That God does not want that. You know, cook your food, basically. Okay, next one. There is life in the blood. Deuteronomy 12, 23. However, by no means eat the blood, for the blood is life itself. You must not eat the life with the meat, right? Okay, so now we have the spirit and the blood. They both have life. And this is our connection. So we can see the connection of the spirit and the blood and the spirit's connection to the blood. Isaiah 57, 16. For I will not be hostile forever, perpetually angry, for then man's spirit will grow faint before me, the life-giving breath which I created, right? Life. And then 1 Corinthians 15:45-47, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam became a living spirit. So the first Adam was predominantly there as flesh and blood, right? And then Jesus came down as the Word of God, made flesh, so his flesh was dominant. I mean, his spirit was dominant over the flesh, right? And so we get this back and forth. We still see in these connections that Adam had a flesh and blood, And a spirit, and Jesus had flesh and blood in his spirit, but one overpowered the other. The flesh overpowered Adam. Jesus' spirit overpowered the flesh, right? But we see the connection. That's what we're getting at. 46, however, then which is spiritual isn't first, but that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, Adam, made of the dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So while we are made in the image of God, and God is not flesh and blood, but spirit, Jesus, the Son of God, came in like flesh and blood to walk as we walk the earth, both spirit and blood. So 1 John 4:2, by this we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus as the Christ who has come in the flesh is from God, right? So here we're seeing the connection, and then 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the good news of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn on them, right? And so before I read the next part, we're made in the image of God. We're flesh and blood with the spirit. God is just spirit. Jesus came in flesh and blood and spirit, right? Jesus is the image of God. So here, so just wrap this all back up in a big giant ball. It's a lot of work to like prove a point to people that want to argue that we're not really made in the image of God. And that's what the whole point of this is. And this is why humanity is unique and special and unlike the animal, and why we have different flesh than they have, that, you know, that we're set apart, right? So to be eating a human being is beyond an evil, right? You know, so as we learn in unclean meats, cannibalism, food sacrifice to idols, part one, God has given us fruits, vegetables, and meat of animals to eat. This is our food, right? Not humanity, right? So every human being is made in basically in the image of God. We can go through that. Woman was made in the image of man. Man was made in the image of God. But so, same source material. We're all from this, right? And so we're all special and unique. And so when we look at another human being, we should never see like a hamburger, you know, we should never see a steak. We should never see an opportunity for survival. We should never see anything other than someone very unique, special, beautiful, made in the image of God that has a purpose. And if they have passed away, to be dealt with dignity, right? And treated unique and like we want to be treated. Okay. So in Leviticus 11, God lays out the possible objects for eating. During this period, he limits what is clean and unclean food. Despite this, God provided the definitive list of what food actually was. While during this period, some were considered unclean, we are still left with the outline of possible food sources. Humanity was not on this list, right? So we don't get to add new things to this list because our unclean meat one says nothing is unclean. Nothing is unclean based on the original list. Right. And those animals that he created after that, it's not food. Right. So food is what was on the list. OK, we don't get to add. Humanity was not on that list. OK, as we can see, humans have a different type of meat from animals, birds and fish. 1 Corinthians 15:39. All flesh is not the same, but there is one flesh of man, another flesh of animals and another flesh of fish and another of birds. Right. So all these are different, unique. We get to eat the animals and the fish and the birds and the insects. Right. But when we're talking flesh, these we don't get to eat. The human being pretty much it's not food, right? It's not even going to be considered food. Okay, top of page four. It is wrong to add to this list. Now we can come up with the possible recipes mixing the prescribed ingredients, yet we can never add to the list that was given in Leviticus 11 as possible food items. Example, we cannot eat people, nor can we eat food made from human DNA, which they're trying to attempt to do, by the way. This would be an abomination to God, not just because you'd be eating from your own form and species. You would literally be eating your brothers and sisters, and of the very type of flesh you're made of. We are not animals, but are made in the image of our God. All of us have the same common ancestors in Adam and Eve, then Noah and his family. To be a cannibal and eat a human being or food made from human beings would mean to eat your own relatives, your own family members, right? The people made in the image of God, right? And so if I recall correctly, and I'll have to double check, they were trying to make food out of people's bowel movements. But bowel movements have your DNA in them. So there you go. Now to the logistics of cannibalism, right? So now that we created a barrier that, like, we don't cross this line, we don't want to go past this point, we're going to focus on the logistics and why it's wrong, okay? First we did, humans are special, they're unique, they're unlike anything else, they're not food. And now here's the logistics of it and why it is wrong from a moral standpoint, like how you would have to go about getting to eat a human being. We're told not to murder each other. Exodus 20:13, thou dost not murder, or thou shalt not murder, right? And so we are not supposed to murder. Now, most people say thou shalt not kill. The Bible does not say thou shalt not kill. It says thou shalt murder. Unjustified homicide is prohibited in Scripture. Self-defense, which I'll read here, right here. So the Bible is fine with self-defense and political punishment, yet prohibits the bloodshed of the innocent. In order to eat human beings, you would have to kill or be party to having someone killed to do so. You would be associated to the chain of events by your consumption, no matter how it goes down. Therefore, making you guilty by being the end consumer of the chain of events that bring human flesh to the plate. Right? And so the Bible says thou shalt not kill, murder, not thou shalt not kill. So if you're in self-defense and stuff, God permits this. He even helped them do it, like David. He killed a lot of people. You know, same thing. But the thing is when it comes to, like, even after that, you don't get to eat them. They're still human beings, right? So even if the death was justified, you don't get to eat them. We are told not to shed the blood of man, and if we do without just cause in the sight of God, he would require our blood in return. As the verse says, because that person is your relative, you are family. Genesis 9:3-6. You may eat any moving thing as I have given you the green plant. I now give you everything, but you must not eat meat with its life, that is the blood in it. For your lifeblood, I will surely exact punishment. For every living creature, I will exact punishment. For each person, I will exact punishment for the life of the individual, since the man was his relative. Right? Don't eat your family. Whoever sheds human blood by other humans, must his blood be shed. For in God's image, God has made humankind. That's pretty definitive. He's like, that is your family. That is your friend. This is your brother and sister. It doesn't matter. We're all related. It all comes back to Noah and his family and then back to Adam and Eve. So everybody on this face of the planet has a relative. But we want to treat people like they're different and strangers. But then in reality, and God's like, no, they're all brothers and sisters at some point. You know, great distant aunt cousins and all this stuff. So we have to be on guard. On the contrary, the shedding of innocent blood is completely contrary to the goal as stated by God right after that warning. Fill the earth with people. Genesis 9:7. But as for you, be fruitful and multiply, increase abundantly on the earth and multiply on it. So that's literally the next verse after the above verse. So Genesis 9:3-6, don't kill your relatives. Don't eat them. And then Genesis 9:7 is like, hey, this is what I want you to do. I want you to multiply, fill the earth. Right? So that's contrary to the above statement. So, top of page five. Here we can see in the sight of God the value and difference between man and beast. Leviticus 24:17-22. Since if a man beats any person to death, he must be put to death. One who beats an animal to death must make restitution for it, life for life. If a man inflicts injury on his fellow citizen, just as he has done, it must be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Just as he inflicts an injury on another person, that same injury must be inflicted on him. One who beats an animal to death must make restitution for it, but one who beats a person to death must be put to death. There will be one regulation for you, whether a resident foreigner or a native citizen, for I am the Lord your God. So God makes the distinction of the value of a beast versus the value of a human being. The animals are important. They're special. God wants you to treat your animals good, but they're just animals. They're not made in the image of God, right? But a human being is unique and special. So let's take it a step further. Jesus takes this a step further. The value of a man is so great that no murder is needed to put the offender in the dangers of hellfire. That to be unjust anger against a person is spiritual murder. Matthew 5:21-22. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, you shall not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be liable to the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be liable to the judgment. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. But whoever shall say fool shall be liable to be thrown into the fire of hell. So God, and then Jesus takes it and says, like, listen, you don't have to literally murder people. You can just have murder in your heart. Mm-hmm. Right. So this is how valuable God values people, that even just hating your brothers and sisters is enough to get you in trouble. Right. So you don't have to kill them and eat them. So now you see how far we've walked away from eating people, because like, well, you're dead, we're going to eat you too. Now we're just going to kill you. Now we're moving back even farther. Right. We're getting farther away from that line that Jesus is like, hey, no, you need to love each other. Stop hating each other. People aren't food. Right. And then we need to treat each other justly and value one another. Okay. Jesus also tells us that we are to love each other. How can we fulfill this command of love if we turn into cannibals and start eating each other? John 15:12-13. And my commandment is that to love one another, just as I have loved you. No one has a greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. So as we can clearly see and define, humanity is to be valued and loved in the sight of God. Humanity and beasts are two different types of flesh. While there is a time to kill and defend and protect the state through war, there's never permitted a time to, in Scripture, to turn your brothers and sisters made in the image of God into food. Even if through justifiable acts of death, a person has been killed. Right. And so we need to be on guard. Right. This push. First of all, I'm going to go on a rant. Here's a rant. Greenhouse gases are not a problem. What happens in a greenhouse? Vegetables grow. Mm-hmm. And a lot of vegetables grow. Mm-hmm. CO2, they want to suffocate plant life to save an earth. It makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And Bill Gates wants to put dust in the upper atmosphere to block the sun. Really? And so basically they're going to make prescribed food scarcity. They're already doing it. They're already buying farmland. This takes big thinking. This takes a person that can think out of a box. They want to control the food supply to control the people. If they can buy up the farmland, suffocate plant life, cool the temperatures down, then they could feed you insects, bugs, food made from poop and human DNA. And then manipulate you and control you. So listen, this might be 20 years ahead of its time, this study, but I'm warning you, that's where we're headed. That's what's got, you got to have some sight. You got to be able to go, how does this all work out? Because once they control the food supply and you can't grow your own food, who controls your life? Mm-hmm. Whoever controls the food supply. Just like they say the army marches on its stomach, right? Well, civilization, works on its intestines too, right? You have to eat. And so just know it's coming. Why do you think they're making GMO everything? Mm-hmm. It's because they can't patent a orange seed. But if they genetically modify it, they can patent an orange seed. And then they can make it where you can't get regular orange seed. And all you can get is GMO orange seed. And you have to pay them for it. Mm-hmm. Like Monsanto's and the other places that have GMO, what they'll do to the farmers is you plant a crop. Right? You plant a crop. Well, that's a dead seed. It'll grow once. Even if it comes up, you can't replant the seed. An individual, I forgot his name, found out how to find the good seeds that could be replanted again. And he did it, and he replanted it again and got sued by Monsanto's because he doesn't own that seed. Okay? And so, it's Monsanto's and another one. So we'll have to clarify which one it was, but I'm pretty sure it's Monsanto's. Either way, their own scientists won't even eat the GMO food. Mm-mm. So, I mean, we should be like, oh, let's think about this. So we have to think big picture. So you think cannibalism, Lance, where are you getting all this? I'm telling you, they're going to be like, guess what, guys, we can make a lot of food from human poop. Well, human poop's going to have DNA in it. And that's only just a thing more, and like everybody's like Soylent Green. Yeah, Soylent Green. Exactly. Soylent Green. and it'll be justified. Well, it's the easiest and the most friendly to the earth and all this stuff. Oh, it's all about money. It's all about controlling your life. It's all about destroying what God created for you to consume. Okay? This is all that's going on. Okay. Cannibalism can be a punishment from God. Now, back to a warning of Jesus that we read at the beginning. Luke 21, 20 through 24. It says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that it is desolation has come near. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Those who are inside the city must depart. Those who are out in the country must not enter it. Because these days are the days of vengeance to fulfill that all that is written. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing their babies in those days. For there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away as captives among all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." So here, so this is a lot of words. Now, this is in Lamentations, also in Deuteronomy, right, which we're going to read. Now, these are prophetic glimpses of God's punishment. So God knew this was going to happen. Now, Jerusalem was destroyed multiple times, right? But they never learned, apparently. But if you look, the punishments keep being the same, okay? So I'm going to read this because I want you to understand. You have to understand this part so you can understand the anger and rejection God felt and the sorrow and the longing and the suffering. And I send you, you know, prophets and you kill them. I'm patient with you. You don't listen. I keep giving you chances, you know, and you don't repent. So you leave me no excuse because you are so far from me now. This is the last stitch effort to get your attention. Okay. And so we have to understand this because we're going to be talking about God's strange act. The following is what I believe to be one of the prophecies of destruction of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, one of the many times. Lamentations 2, 1 through 22. "How the Lord has covered the daughter of Zion with a cloud in his anger. He has cast down the beauty of Israel from the heavens to the earth and remembered not his footstool in the day of his anger. Verse 2, the Lord swallowed up all the dwelling place of Jacob and has not pitied. In his wrath, he has thrown down the strongholds of the daughter of Judah. He has brought them down to the ground. He has defiled the kingdom of its rulers. Verse 3, and he has cut off the horn of Israel in his fierce anger. He has drawn back his right hand before them, an enemy, and he burned against Jacob like a flaming fire which devours all around. Verse 4, he has bent his bow like an enemy. He stood with his right hand like an adversary and killed all who were desirable to the eye in the tabernacle of the daughter of Zion. He poured out his fury like fire. Verse 5, Jehovah was like an enemy. He swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her places and destroyed his strongholds. And he has increased the mourning and weeping in the daughter of Judah. 6, and he violated his booth like a garden and destroyed his meeting places. Jehovah caused the meeting places and Sabbaths to be forgotten. Zion. He has despised the king and the priests in the fury of his anger. 7. Jehovah has cast off his altar. He has rejected his sanctuary. He has given up the walls of her palaces into the haters' hands. They gave a noise in the house of Jehovah as a day of meeting. 8. Jehovah purposed to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not withdrawn his hand from swallowing, and he made a rampart and a wall. They languished together. 9. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her kings and her rulers are among the nations. The law is no more. Also, her prophets also find no vision from Jehovah. 10. The elders and the daughters of Zion sit upon the ground and are silent. They send up dust on their heads. They gird on sackcloth, and the virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. 11. My eyes fail with tears. My inward parts ferment. My liver is poured on the ground from the ruin of the daughter of my people, and their children and their babies faint in the streets of the city. Verse 12, they say to their mothers, where are grain and wine? And they're fainting. They are like the wounded in the street of the city, and they're pouring out their lives to their mother's bosom. 13, when can I testify for you? What thing shall I compare to you, O daughter of Zion? What shall I equal to you so that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your break is great like the sea. Who can heal you? 14, your prophets have seen false and foolish things to you. And they have uncovered your iniquity and to turn away your captivity, but they have seen false oracles and seductions for you. All who pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their head in the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city which they called the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? 16. All the enemies have opened their mouths against you. They hiss and gnash their teeth. They say, we have swallowed her up. Certainly this is the day we look for we have found, we have seen. Verse 17, Jehovah has done what he has purposed. He has fulfilled his word, which he commanded from the days of old. He has thrown down and not pitied, and he caused your haters to rejoice over you. He set up the horn of your foes. And here comes the crazy part. Verse 18, their heart cried to Jehovah, O wall of daughter of Zion, let tears run down like a torrent day, and I give yourself no rest. Let not the daughter of your eyes cease. Arise, cry out in the city and the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of Jehovah. Lift up your hands towards him for the life of your children who faint for hunger and the head of every street. Behold, Jehovah, consider to whom you have done this. Shall the women eat their fruit children tender of care? Should they eat their own children? Right? Remember Jesus' warning? Woe unto you mothers who are giving birth and suckling. Shall the priest and the prophet be killed in the holy place of the Lord? Young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger. You have killed them and not pitied. You have called as in solemn day my terror all around. There was not an escape, one or a survivor in the day of Jehovah's anger. Those whom I have nursed and multiplied, my enemies has consumed. Right? So let's go back to what Jesus said. Luke 21:23. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress on the earth and wrath against the people, right? So we're going to look into this. This is his history now. We can look back. So let's look back. Albert Barnes' commentary on Matthew 25 said, a horrible instance of distress of Jerusalem is related by Josephus. The famine during the siege became so great that they ate what most sordid animals refused to touch. A woman of distinguished rank, having been plundered by the soldiers, in hunger, rage, and despair, killed and roasted her own baby and had eaten one half of it before the deed was discovered. Jewish Wars, Book 6, Chapter 3, Section 3 and 4. The cruel and dreadful act was also a fulfillment of prophecy of Deuteronomy 28:53 and Deuteronomy 56-57. So let's look at that, okay? Deuteronomy 28:52-57. They will besiege all of your villages until all of your high and fortified walls and collapse, those in which you put your confidence throughout the land. They will besiege all your villages throughout the land the Lord your God has given you. You will then eat your own offspring, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, the Lord your God has given you, because of the severity of the siege by which your enemies will constrict you. The man among you who is by nature tender and sensitive will turn against his brother, his beloved wife, and his remaining children. He'll withhold from all of them his children's flesh that he is eating, since there is nothing else left because of the severity of the siege by which your enemy will constrict you and your villages. Likewise, the most tender and delicate of women, who would never think of putting even the sole of her foot on the ground because of her daintiness, will turn against her beloved husband, her sons, and her daughters, and will secretly eat her afterbirth and her newborn child, since she has nothing else, back to Jesus' warning, because of the severity of the siege by which your enemy will constrict in your village, right? So this is prophecy. Now, why we're doing this, cannibalism is punishment. That's what I'm getting at here, guys. When people turn cannibal, it's punishment. If cannibalism gets big in our country, big in our world, this is an act of punishment, of spiritual depravity, okay? That's what I'm trying to prove here. Leviticus 26:24-31. Top of page 8. Sorry, Leviticus 26:24-31. I myself will also walk in hostility against you and strike you 7 times on account of your sins. This is God. I will bring on you an avenging sword, a covenant vengeance. Although you will gather together into your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you'll be given into the enemy's hands. When I break off your supply of bread, 10 women will bake your bread in one oven. They will ration your bread by weight, and you will eat and not be satisfied. If in spite of this you do not obey me, but walk in hostility against me, I will walk in a hostile rage against you, and I myself will also discipline you 7 times on account of your sins. You will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places and cut down your incense altars. I will stack your dead bodies on top of the lifeless bodies of your idols. I will abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and make your sanctuaries delta. I will refuse to smell your smooth aromas. All right, this is punishment. If we see cannibalism getting popularized, accepted in society, realize you the world and whatever country you're in is being punished by God, right? So when people start eating people, just realize this is related to punishment. Lamentations 4:9-11. Those who died by the sword are better off than those who die of hunger. Those who waste away struck down from the lack of food. The hands of tender-hearted women cooked their own children who became their food when my people were destroyed. The Lord fully vented his wrath. He poured out his fierce anger. He started a fire in Zion and consumed the foundation, right? So it gets harder to deal with. It is God's punishment to drive them to madness, right? Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 19:6-10. So I, the Lord, say, the time will soon come that people will no longer call this place Tephath in Hinnom Valley, I think, but they will call this valley the Valley of Slaughter. In this place, I will thwart the plans of the people of Judah and Jerusalem. I will deliver them over to the power of their enemies who are seeking to kill them. They will die by the sword into the hands of their enemies. I will make their dead bodies food for the birds and the wild beasts to eat. I will make the city an object of horror, a thing to be hissed at. All who pass by it will be filled with horror and will hiss out their scorn because of the disaster that happened to it. I will reduce the people of the city to desperate straits during the siege imposed on them by their enemies who are seeking to kill them. I will make them so desperate they will eat the flesh of their own sons and daughters and the flesh of one another. The Lord continued, now break the jar in front of those who have come here with you. What is saying? God drove them to madness out of punishment. It's like, you want to reject me? You want life without me? You don't want my protection? You don't want my Holy Spirit restraining this kind of activity? You don't want these? Like, fine. You are going to get everything you say you want. Bible says God will not be mocked. You know, man will reap what he sows. So if you're sowing into death and depravity like our country is, which it needs to repent, and many other countries, where do you think this is all heading? We're so stuck in this 1 year. But think about it. You know, I was sitting there watching TV, you know, with my wife and the kids on multiple occasions. And just think where we were 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. I remember being as a kid watching The Simpsons. And I remember thinking The Simpsons was the greatest thing. And how everybody was on the news. I remember on the news. I remember my parents talking about how Bart Simpson saying cowabunga was a cuss word. And that don't have a cow man was disrespectful to his dad. And how that shouldn't be tolerated on TV. And I was thinking, what's the big deal? I was a little kid. I still remember thinking about it. Don't take my Simpsons away. I love Simpsons. Right? And now I'm thinking, in my lifetime, how far have we come? Now they just cuss on TV. Dad's always an idiot. You know, kids do whatever they want. And they're having sex on television. There's homosexuality. They openly talk about having abortion on TV shows. They just don't care. We went from, we shouldn't say cowabunga and don't have a cow, man. That's disrespectful to Homer. They don't need to be doing that on TV. To full-blown insanity. Mm-hmm. Right? To the point that we don't even watch hardly any television because it's so disgusting. Mm-hmm. Right? But now, so you think, you're like, Lance, you're just kind of, you're dramatizing things. No. Just imagine how far we'll be. You remember, check this out. I remember seeing a video where they were watching the Venturas. You guys remember the Venturas, the old band? You know, just dun, 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 dun. It's just, that's all they did, just play music. I remember watching a video recently online where all the kids were in their poodle skirts and looked like their Sunday best. And they're all eating bubble gum. And that was rebellious. Eating bubble gum. You know, and here we are at the end of time, you know, where everybody can do anything. You know, they're trying to let you have sex changes at school without your parents knowing. They want to take you out to go get abortions without your parents knowing. You can't even drive or rent a car, and you can go get a medical procedure that will maim you for the rest of your life. So you're thinking, Lance, it's cannibalism. Thanks, far-fetched. No, it's not. And you have to remember, the only thing that's holding it back is God's Holy Spirit. So when he removes it like he did here in Jeremiah, no, it's game on, guys. People get confused. They're like, oh, it's not going to happen. No, as soon as God's Spirit is removed from the world and is only kept with his children, people are going to go nuts, right? And so we're not that far away. We're not that far away. Be on guard. And when it happens, realize it's punishment. It's punishment. All right. Ezekiel 5:7-11. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, because you are more arrogant than the nations around you, you have not followed my statutes and have not carried out my regulations. You have not even carried out the regulations of the nations around you. Wow, they can't even get that right. Therefore, this is what the Lord, Sovereign Lord says. I am against you, and I will execute judgment among you while the nations watch. I will do to you what I have never done before and will never do again because of all your abominable practices. Therefore, the fathers will eat their sons within you, Jerusalem, and sons will eat their fathers. God's like, listen, I'm about to do to you something so bad. Right? And so that's where we need to understand. Don't play around with God, number one. Two, realize our world's not far from it. I'll execute judgment on you, and I'll scatter any survival to the winds. Therefore, as surely as I live, says the Lord, Sovereign Lord, because you defiled my sanctuary with all your detestable idols, and with all your abominable practices, I will withdraw. My eye will not pity you, nor will I spare you. Right? Now you're thinking, Lance, that's not true. Let's look at top of page 9. So this is much the same in the following acts by God. When God has enough, he gives you what you want. Okay? 2 Chronicles 18, 19 through 22. Yahweh said, who will entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall on Ramoth-Gilead? One spoke, saying in this way, and another saying in that way. A spirit came up and stood before Yahweh and said, I will entice him. Yahweh said to him, how? He said, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in him, in his mouth and of all of his prophets. He said, you will entice him and you will prevail also. Go and do so. Now, therefore, behold, Yahweh has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and Yahweh has spoken evil concerning against you, right? So God was like, fine, you want that? Here, you can have it. I'm done protecting you from yourself. I'm done for all this. It's time to get the punishment, right? We have another example in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians 2, 11 through 12. And for this God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie, so that all who do not believe in the truth but delight in unrighteousness may be condemned. That's what's going to happen at the end of time. People are going to be like, it's okay to eat your neighbor. It's okay to eat granny. It's okay to, I mean, just so you know right now, people to this day eat placenta. Especially in like in South American countries, that's wrong. That's a part of a human being. And so it's not a far stretch, people. And so I wanted to give you what we referenced earlier. I went and found it. Albert Barnes above quoted Josephus, right? And let's look into the account. War of the Jews, Flavius Josephus, book 6, chapter 3, section 4. This is what was actually written by Josephus. Now, I have a digital copy. I own a physical copy of Josephus and Philo, you know, that was given to me, praise God. But it's good. First of all, you want to read Josephus. I tell you, there's so much interesting information in Josephus, you know, about like when I believe it was Herod tried to go and grave rob David and Solomon's grave and stuff, and all the stuff that happened in the death and the depravity and just miracles, you know, when he tried to break in to steal to get the gold and the jewels and stuff. So, I mean, it's amazing. It's well worth your time, believe me. So, anyways, it was now become impossible for her to find any more food while the famine persists, though her very bowels and marrow, when also her passion was fired a degree beyond the famine itself. Nor did she consult with anything but with her passion and the necessity she was in. She then attempted a most unnatural thing in snatching up her son, who was a child sucking at her breast. She said, O thou miserable infant, for whom shall I preserve thee in war, this famine and this sedition? As to the war with the Romans, if they preserved our life, we must be slaves. This famine will also destroy us. You see the justification? Even before that slavery comes upon us. Yet, are these seditious rogues more terrible than both the other? Come on. Be thou my food, and be thou a fury to these seditious varlets, and by word to the word, which is all that is now wanting to complete the calamities of us Jews. As soon as she had said this, she slew her son, and then roasted him, and ate the one half of him, and kept the other half to be concealed. Upon this, seditious came in presently, and smelling the horrid scent of his body, they threatened her that they would cut her throat immediately if she did not show them what food she had gotten ready. She replied that she had saved a fine portion of it for them, and withal uncovered what was left of her son. Hereby they were seized with horror and amazement of mind, and stood astonished at the sight, when she said to them, this is my own son, and what hath done was my own doing. Come eat this food, for I have eaten of it myself. Do you pretend to be either more tender than a woman, or more compassionate than a mother? But if you be so scrupulous and do abominate this my sacrifice, as I have eaten the one half, lest the rest be reserved for me also. After which these men went out trembling, being never so much affrighted as anything as they were at this, as with some difficulty they thought about it, then left the rest of the meat with the mother. Now, tell me how this is any different than a willingness to sacrifice your own child through abortion. That is a human being inside your womb. It's only one more step to eat. If you don't value the life, then what is preventing you from eating it? It's only one more step. It's tough. So, the end note, as we end the study, The end note 15 at the bottom of chapter 3 reads as such. The Romans were not only willing but very desirous to grant those Jews in Jerusalem both their lives and their liberties, and to save both their city and their temple. But the zealot and the robbers and the seditious were hearkened to no term of submission. They voluntarily chose to reduce the citizens to that extremity, as to force mothers to their unnatural barbarity, which in all of its circumstances has not, I suppose, been hitherto paralleled among the rest of humankind. Okay, before I say that, anything. What happened here is you notice that God punished the people. Yes, he used Rome to exact judgment, but the spirit was put on the people, the rebellious spirit. And so the zealots didn't want anybody to leave. So if I recall correctly, and I have to double check this, they went and burned the food supply, because the idea was we're going to burn the food supply. Then we're going to open these gates and we're all going to go kill some Romans. That didn't happen. It didn't work. So burning the food supply and fighting over it and destroying it made, you know, the depravity set in quicker because nobody left. And at first, when they had an opportunity to leave, the zealots wouldn't leave and said, like, you try to leave, we're going to kill you and your family. Right. And so you see how this madness was put on them, and they were drove to craziness. So drove to madness and murder, just as God set it up to happen for their rebellion against him. When we all fear the name of God and obey him at every turn. So as we can clearly see, God is not in favor nor permits cannibalism from his children. Humanity was never supposed to eat each other, devouring brothers and sisters. We have a unique flesh and unique role upon the earth. Cannibalism is a horrid and abomination before God and should never be tolerated. Let no scheme of man, through neither prudence nor necessity, ever call upon the dreadful act for survival or profit. It is murder and will put you in danger of hellfire. People, they are not for dinner. So in short, cannibalism is wrong, very wrong, and to be a cannibal is a sure sentence to hell. So next week, we'll talk about food sacrificed to idols. So anyways, we get the idea. People are special. They're unique. They're made in the image of God. They are your family. Literally, they're your relatives. You can't eat them, no matter how desperate things you get. I'd rather die than eat a human being, period. You know, I'd have a tough time just eating a dog, you know, to survive. But like, you know, a human being, you have to put this barrier in your heart and your mind. No, that's beyond, right? But Jesus, remember, we talked about Jesus. Like, it's not a matter of just murdering a person. He brings it back any further. You can't even have ill emotion towards your brother and sisters, you know, and have this unjustified hate in your heart, right? And so Jesus pulls us farther back from that line of, oh, we can eat people now. And so let it never be said. If anybody starts talking about it, if you see it on TV, you start ranting and railing and telling all your friends, bring them back to this Bible study, do whatever you can and just stand against it, because understand that's judgment. If you see cannibalism in the news, now watch, next week we're going to find some stuff on the news. But it's judgment, okay? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we are unique, we're special, humanity is beautiful, made in your image, men and women, and that we could just glorify you in this and value each other in life and show respect in death, Father, and that we will never, ever partake, allow, or consume anything made with human DNA or humanity at all, and that this sin and punishment will never come upon us or our country, and that we can stand strong, Father. But we praise you, we thank you for this understanding, and we love you very much. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen.
If you feel so led of the Lord and want to know how to donate to this ministry outreach,
please visit boyrants.com and scroll down the bottom of the name page for a PayPal link. Thank you, because Boys and Rants the Party and boyrants.com.
Brotherlance.com.